Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
I said it Wednesday night. I always sort of yell at the beginning because I can't tell how loud things are.
Loud. So
I always just go, wah, so I can lower the volume to where I need
it's
to.
Aggressive.
I really need to invest in like a board with faders. Like, you know, you're a college radio alum like I am. I need a fader to know what I'm doing.
And a producer.
Well, true. It's Saturday night. And that means it's all right for fighting here on the Mark Order Podcast. This is what, bonus episode number 5? I don't know.
Have I really done 5 with you?
You have done 5. You've done 3.
I think I did 2 or 3, yeah.
You've done 3, but this is our 5th bonus. Because okay. We did one for the Super Card of Honor, one for Death Before Dishonor. We've done one for each of the Battle of the Belts, and that's what tonight is.
Yeah.
Battle of the Belts 3.
Yeah.
And if you're tuned in to us here on the Mark Order Podcast, you know that this was an all money edition.
Yes.
The first two were all money editions, and so is this third one. So Mrs. Money, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
And I feel like people always ask us, like, why aren't you doing this with each other in the same room? And it's just basically
it's
a space issue.
Yeah, I don't want to be like sitting on your lap doing this. It's just uncomfortable. Sorry.
No, I'm with you. That would be a lot for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or not 2 hours, but however long.
2 hours. Well, the show was an hour.
Yeah. But yeah, so to those people who've sort of asked, like, why don't you do this in the same place? Well, we're in the same house.
We are.
We just don't have the ability to do it in the same room because we don't have a radio studio. So I apologize. But we are in the same house.
Yes.
She's that way somewhere.
He's down there.
Somewhere.
Down the hall, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in our dining room, if you didn't notice, with the beautiful china over here and some decorative plants over here.
Yeah.
A nice new table. So, yeah.
Well, it's great. And looks like you got a AEW-related shirt on tonight.
Oh, do I? Oh, I guess I do, huh?
What's that?
The premier athlete, Tony Nese.
I thought you were going to make him talk there for a second and just be like, Hi, I'm Tony Nese.
No, I'm not going to make him drink wine. I mean, it is his birthday, so maybe he can have some.
Oh,
you know, happy birthday.
Very happy birthday to Tony Nese.
Yes, very much so. Maybe we'll give him some wine later. We'll see.
Well, since it's been like 3 episodes, or this is the 3rd episode we're doing together, and it's been a while since people have seen you. Anything you want to update the people about? It's open forum. I mean, I did, just so you know, you usually listen to our first hour on Wednesday nights.
Just to see if you talk about me. I don't really stick around for anything else. I just like to make sure you don't say mean stuff about me. And if you do, I have the ability to defend myself in the chat.
You do. You also have the ability to just storm into the room.
I don't lock
the door.
I've wanted to a couple of times, but usually I'm in my like a t-shirt and my underpants, and I don't think the people are ready for that.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's up to, we are on YouTube. I don't want us to get flagged. It might be too sexy for YouTube.
Too hot for TV. Though tonight might be a good night for it. I got my legs waxed yesterday for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Which was very painful, and I would not recommend it. But it's done. Shout out to Erica at Glaminator.
Oh,
taking good care of me for 45 minutes. But yeah, it's very painful. So I just would not do that on a Friday night ever again.
Now, here's a question I'll ask you.
Is today Friday? No, it's a Saturday.
No, it is Saturday.
Sorry.
Don't send us back a day.
Sorry.
Well, here's a question I'll ask you. We were having this discussion earlier, but I figured let's bring it here. Mm-hmm. Hi, Rob Humphrey. Listening to records with my kids, so running behind. That's awesome.
Oh, that's okay. Hi, Rob. That's really nice and special that you listen to records with your kid. That's really sweet.
Yeah. So, Gina, here's my question. Because, you know, there are people out there, you know, who do the waxing, who do shaving. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Is there, because I'm sure there is with some people, is there a pain for pleasure thing with the waxing of the legs or anything? No.
No, not for me.
Not for you.
Not for me. It's not satisfying. It's not, the satisfying part is seeing the after. You know, like looking in the mirror and being like, wow, I feel like, oh, I look like a whole new person now that my eyebrows are done. I usually just get my eyebrows done. I've never gone below the belt before. So this, getting the legs done was a pretty big commitment. Yeah. So that was like, that's like the most gratifying part. It's just seeing like, wow, all the hair is gone. That's amazing. But it's not fun. The only fun part is talking to my waxer, who's awesome. So she's really funny to talk to, and you hang out, you BS, you catch up. It's like going to the hair salon, but it's really painful.
And is it like, now I'm not saying because of the hair situation, but is it like 40-year-old virgin where it's just like shrimp and you're like, oh, like.
I keep that inside. I keep it here. I don't do it here.
Sure.
So it's just internally, it was a lot of like, but.
Gotcha.
That's about it. It's, I mean, Steve Carell was a little dramatic with it. You can, it's not that bad, but it's bad. It's not fun.
I mean, listen, I'm not as hairy as Steve Carell, but I'm pretty hairy. You know me.
Yes. Yeah.
I would probably. Guy.
You'd probably scream. You didn't like the Band-Aid getting ripped off the other night.
If they did my chest, there's no way I would be able to internalize that. I would try, but there's no way.
Yeah.
But I feel like other parts, somebody once when I went with you was like, here, I'll do your ears so you can feel it. Or like your nose. Like they were
you
like,
got your nose done once. Yeah. Because it's like a freebie. Just FYI, everybody, if you go to European Wax Center, that's like a chain around the country, you can typically get a free eye. Like your first visit, you can get like an eyebrow, an ear, a nose, like something small. It's like your freebie. So if you're curious and dabbling in the arts of wax, like I suggest stopping in there and getting like an earwax or something. Like, see if you like it. I don't know.
This is a conversation that could apply to half of our audience. I'm just saying. Hey, Eric Frieds. Eric Frieds said, legit went to Fightful and said, this isn't Mark Order. Well, that's very true. Nobody is.
No, there's only one A show, right?
You know it. You know it.
Well, I mean, I hear that in the first hour that I listen. So that's like one of the only things I know.
This is, listen. It's the A show of the current Shining Wizards Network. And once we complete the acquisition of that network, we're just going to be, you know, it's Millionaire Matt and Ant Money for a reason. We see the value in the tape library.
I understand.
Except for the PC Police. Those will be buried, never to be seen again.
No, we need to burn and those.
That's whoever really battled cancel culture 40 times. I think we talked about it Wednesday night. Maybe it wasn't even on the air, but how do you quantify 40 times? 40 times. 40.
I'm very confused right now.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry.
Either way.
But yeah, that's right, what's so new with me. Got my legs waxed.
Okay.
It's vacation time. Ooh. So that's exciting.
That's right.
Hence why I'm drinking wine. Because it's vacation time. But you can share that part. I'll say to you, how are you, Mr. Money? What's new with you?
I'm fine.
Because I don't live with you.
No. Well, not much has changed since Wednesday when I spoke to, you know, to everybody on our normal show. And again,
yeah, you gave the good story. You gave the Rob Zombie story. So like that's,
well, how could I hold it until,
no,
you know,
you can't. No.
I'll throw the floor to you, though. Is there anything that I left out about that experience? So to those who maybe are listening to us for the first time, our normal show is Wednesday nights at 10:15 after Dynamite goes off the air, where we do our Mark Order podcast. We recap Dynamite, talk about Rampage, everything going on in our lives, and everything AEW. Tonight's our bonus show. So Mrs. Money's here with us. The Money Team is bringing it on the Mark Order bonus show. I told this story about taking our 5-year-old to his first concert to see Rob Zombie, Mudvayne, Static X, and Power Man 5000. But Mrs. Money, I gave all the basics, the smoke your grass, shake your ass, all that mm-hmm. stuff. Anything that you'd like to single out about that show and that experience?
Did we talk about the tailgate and how he ended up without his shirt on?
Yes, I think I did mention that he didn't have his shirt on.
He looked like a drunk with a Kool-Aid burst.
Yes.
At one point, just raging. Did we talk about the porta potty?
I didn't tell anybody. I didn't mention the porta potty.
Yeah, this is going to be online forever. So if our kid finds this in 18 years.
It's not my problem.
I'm sorry. I had to take my kid into a porta potty during the tailgate. And, you know, most people are disgusted by porta potties, and he is too. He's kind of like, oh, he didn't want to go in there. But he proceeded to take a shit in the porta potty. It was like the true concert experience. So I had to suffocate in a porta potty with a 5-year-old as he took a shit at a Rob Zombie show. It was really, it was something.
And I'll say this, if I can tag on to that, I am not ashamed. I'm 38 years old.
Yeah, so am I.
I have never taken a shit in a porta potty. Ever. Well, that's why I look the way I do. No, I've never taken a shit in a porta potty. So baby money is just like, just living life. I mean, this kid has no shame in his shit game.
He didn't care. He was like, I got to poop. And he like cranked it out. He was like grunting and turning red. And I was like, hurry it up. There are people waiting. Like you can't, this isn't like home where you can chill for a half hour. Like we got to go.
No.
And he's asking me questions about the urinal, handstand, where does it go? What does this mm-hmm. do? I'm just like, please finish.
Please. We got to go.
Please finish.
Oh,
That was my takeaway from the show. That was a lot of fun. I took him to the bathroom like 3 or 4 times throughout the course of the night. I'm like, dude, should have put you in a pamper or something.
But he made it all the way through.
He did. He was a trooper. He had a great time. I had a great time with him. I got a little choked up during Static X with him. I'm like, I can't believe I'm sharing like something I love so much with my kid. Like, finally, this is just such a cool thing. I've been going to shows since I was 12. I'm 38 now. There's always something really special. Live music has always been very special to me. And it's something that, you know, I always enjoy going to. It doesn't matter who it is, what kind of genre, I don't care. It's just, I love it. I can't play music. I suck at it. So I admire musicians so much. And it's just so special to be able to have that with him. And hopefully we can do that some more now. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we set the bar with Rob Zombie, but he keeps saying the next one has to be Metallica. So
yeah, start saving.
Good thing I'm Ant Money.
Yeah, good thing we're the Money Gang or whatever our hashtag is today.
I mean, you know what? And that was the other thing. It was hashtag Money Team, but I forgot. That's Floyd Mayweather. And I hope we don't get a C&D.
Anthony. You
know what I mean? Well, we have some high-powered attorneys. We have some high-powered attorneys we can afford.
We could call Smart Mark. I'll talk to Tony and we'll get in touch with Smart Mark.
Well, speaking of Smart Mark, this is a good transition point because I do want to, we do have to talk about Friday night Rampage.
We do.
We absolutely have to. And then after Rampage, to tease this out a little bit, we do have a very special FMK. We're big FMK players here on the Mark Order podcast.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Yeah. So we're going to do FMK, or for those who don't know, because we're potty mouths, fuck, marry, kill. We're going to do it after we talk about Rampage, because that will be a perfect spot to end.
You got to hang in there for it.
Yeah, hang out. We're going to do Rampage quickly. We're not really spending, well, we might spend 2 hours on that alone. We're going to do our FMK, and then we're going to break down tonight's Battle of the Belts 3. And we're going to talk a few pieces of news and notes. So stay tuned. No commercial breaks tonight. We're just powering straight through. And if you're here watching along with us, we definitely appreciate you guys out there. The Rob Humphreys, the Eric Frieds, and a couple others, I think, who are out there watching.
Yes. And I'm going to apologize now if anyone hears me burp. The wine's got me burpy. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I apologize for that.
Hey, listen, you said it. This lives online forever.
It does. It does. That's why I'm not sharing all of my experiences with everyone right now. I'm so used to, I have to be careful because I'm used to college radio where none, and that was before the dawn of digital, really. Right. So no one was like recording my shows, and this just that didn't live on anywhere. If it did, I'd be in a lot of trouble by now.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble. I'd have no job.
I don't know if I would have been in trouble from college radio because it was at like midnight. Nobody was listening.
Oh, people, not really a lot of people listen. I'm saying like not a lot of people listen, but I'm saying if it lived on, if I had these like on YouTube and somebody found them, it would be bad.
Yeah, but at the very least, you were on in the afternoon.
4 to 7.
I mean, that's the afternoon. That's afternoon drive.
I used to have a 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. show, too.
I would have killed for those time slots.
Really? The 7 literally, to 10 was kind of rough. That was my first show.
I literally had two time slots in my entire college radio career.
Mm-hmm.
12 to 2, because it was 2-hour blocks. Oh, 12 a.m.? Maybe it was 3 hours. I can't. Either way, it was definitely midnight to 2 or 3 a.m. And then when I, you know, graduated up a level, I was from 10 to midnight or 10 to 1. Like, terrible hours. Nobody is listening.
Yeah.
And I swear, if somebody did record them and put them on YouTube, I don't think I'd be in trouble because I didn't talk because nobody was listening. So I
talked a lot because no one was listening. I thought it was like the funniest shit ever. So I was just like, burr, 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 and all my friends would come in and we'd just burr, 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 tell our silly jokes and think we were so funny. And
Before we get to Rampage, can I tell you this? The only times I would generally talk were to recap what was played, right? So I'd do a quick rundown of what was played, or I would do like the weekly top 10 new stuff, like for loud rock music.
Right.
But the other times I would talk would be contests, right? So we would do contests. We never did anything great like tickets or whatever, but we'd do like like a prize pack. Well, we just never really got. But I had so much stuff to send out that we would do a prize pack. And I told everybody you could do a prize pack, or if we got like, you know, Static X put out a record, I got 10 Static X CDs, you know, do one on your show, whatever.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times on my show it was like caller 10. And then like, I'd play 4 songs, 0 calls. And I would absolutely get back on the air and be like, congratulations to Mark from Tunkhannock. You just won yourself like
making it
back.
Up.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's so sad.
Nobody ever called, but I did get a prison letter once, and that was fun.
That's pretty fun. I used to have, I had a listener that worked at a hot dog stand that would play my show to scare customers away, and I thought that was pretty nice. My show was called The Killing Spree, and it was primarily industrial in the front end and then metal on the back end. So pretty aggressive, especially for the station. We played a lot of like, hipstery kind of rock for the most part, and then they had my show that was just like Atari Teenage Riot and like angry shit. So he would call in and be like, yeah, I just had that song on, everybody ran away from the hot dog stand. I'm like, thank you, guy. It makes me feel special.
You're
and Eric did
money.
Ask
you
if my
me.
Eric did ask if my shows were on MySpace. I did have a MySpace, and I probably wrote about my shows in my blog on MySpace, which is now gone RIP, but I do have one of my radios, my first radio show that my awful first college roommate actually recorded for me. I have it. I thought that was very nice of her to do. So I have the first hour of my very first radio show on a little cassette somewhere. That's how old I am.
I could probably find it, Mrs. Money, but I definitely have my very last radio show on a CD somewhere.
Oh, that's special. That's nice. I ended mine like 15 minutes early because I was just so checked out. It was so I did play Killswitch Engage, My Last Serenade as my last song, though.
Holy shit, I might have done the same thing.
Oh, that's so nice. That's
I'm
so
have
special.
To find it. Anyway, we're boring everybody. We've got 6 people.
No, we're not. Rob says he's been in radio for 27 years and college radio days were special.
And Rob Humphrey, right. I do envy you for working in radio for 27 years.
That's what I wanted to do radio for my career, and it just didn't happen. Here I am on my Saturday night talking into a laptop with a Tony Nese shirt on.
Well, that's because of your college radio days. You're like, I'm itching.
That's why I'm here. Well, I mean, if it wasn't for college radio, we wouldn't be together.
That's very true. That's a story for another time.
Straight up.
But yeah, I for Rob Humphrey, my failed career path, because as Mrs. Money knows, I tell people all the time, I wanted to get into every dying industry at the wrong time.
Me too.
I was a journalism major in college. I wanted to get into journalism, magazine writing, stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
I was a double focus in communication. So one was journalism, the other was radio TV production. Mm-hmm. And I definitely wanted to get into radio, and that didn't work. And then I went, after I graduated college, I went to a audio engineering school where I did studio engineering and production, and wanted to get into recording studios. Of course, everybody is now able to do that shit from home. I mean, if you want something really good, you go to a real big studio, but still did it that way. And then I got into a record label. And of course, that was like a dream, and I'm glad I did it. But, everything is dying at the time we were getting into it in the late aughts,
Yep.
So now I am at money because I switched gears and I make money now. So there we go. Anyway, let's dive back into wrestling. So let's talk a little bit about Friday Night Rampage, Mrs. Money. We can go through the first couple pieces. We don't have to break everything down in detail, but just to catch everybody up, and we'll do this Wednesday night too with the rest of the group. But we did get Ole Mancer versus John Moxley. Ole Mance Warner won the Battle Royal or the Bunkhouse Brawl at Ric Flair's last match. And he got a match with Moxley where if he won, he would get a title defense against Mox. Well, of course, Ole Mancer couldn't come through. He got choked out at the end. But it was nice to see Ole Mancer on TV against John Moxley. And word on the street is Mance Warner's over in Florida. So
just what saying. Does that mean?
I think it's code for
he might be all elite.
No. I think at one point that was a Conrad thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't watch that match, so I have nothing to contribute. I saw like 10 seconds of it before I got my hair done today. So I'm sorry. Listen, I'm sorry, everybody.
We know what we are getting to. I'm just kind of recapping.
Y'all know.
I'm recapping here.
I'm just saying I can't like engage with you.
No, it's fine. Because... You can tell me where you might want to stop. We're not going to break down everything here. QT Marshall and the Factory offer Ricky Starks some protection, but he rejects that offer and basically tells him to kick rocks and kiss his ass. My favorite part of that was that Nick Camarado now looks like some sort of weird pimp.
Really? He doesn't wear that like white, like shreddy coat, or does he still do that?
No, he was wearing some sort of weird like white and blue, like looked like a velvet robe, and then had some sort of like bucket hat on, and he was sucking on a lollipop. It was fucking weird.
Would I be into it though?
I don't know. I didn't even know it was him at first.
Can I look it up really quick? I'm not looking on my computer, but can I look?
I mean, I don't have it in front of me to share, but you can certainly look.
I mean,
I'll keep going. You tell me when.
What date was the show?
Friday, yesterday.
It was yesterday, August 5th, 2022.
Nick Camarado. I mean, you can
and
probably
pimp
look
and
up.
Lollipop. And I mean, I want to try to see if an image pops up.
I mean, you could probably even go to Twitter to see if like Nick Camarado has a picture on his own page.
You think he does?
He might.
These are the things I really care about.
I mean, I have it. Never mind. I'll pull it up.
Okay. Here we go. I'm excited. You're quicker than me.
And I'm doing like the, everything.
I know. Sorry. Make me feel bad.
Here you go. There's old Nicky Camarado.
I don't like that. It's like a velour suit.
Right. My apologies, Mrs. Money. It wasn't white and blue. The hat was white and blue. And it isn't a bucket hat.
Blue and white.
It isn't a bucket hat. It's not a fedora, but it's definitely like some sort of brimmed hat.
It looks like a cheap Party City prop, to be honest with you.
It looks like something Ryan would have on if he was playing a character.
Yeah, well, now he's going to have to dress up like Nick, right?
I don't understand this, unless I wasn't watching an episode of Dark and missed it somewhere.
He was wearing that or something. That's really odd. And it's just weird because we saw him in person in February at the casino. He doesn't look like that in person, so it's just weird.
No, this was a turn that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. And,
you know, I don't know.
It
was just weird. But anyway.
The white jacket was dumb, too, but I digress.
The big deal there is that QT Marshall and the factory offered protection. Starks turned it down. And actually, you know, it wound up being a pretty decent kind of promo interview backstage.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, because clearly they're not done with Ricky Starks.
Right.
So that could be the first thing that, you know, Ricky sort of gets into as he sort of navigates what's happening with Powerhouse Hobbs.
With QT or with his boys? Or both?
I guess with all the factory and with, you know, Powerhouse Hobbs. I mean, there's a lot of spoons in the porridge, as somebody else on this podcast likes to say.
Who says that?
Matt said it once in an interview. He said it on the Shining Wizards.
That's funny. Oh, Matt.
But he was just like, there's a lot of spoons in the porridge. And he really, I don't know what he was trying to say.
I get it. It's like, too many cooks in the kitchen.
That would have been better. But he didn't say that.
That's okay.
Anyway. Next up on Friday, we had Konsuke Takeshita versus Ryan Nemeth, and that was a quick one. Takeshita wins against Nemeth. Peter Avalon, pretty Peter Avalon, who KTG said she would absolutely like to fuck.
Yes, I've heard.
Oh, I mean, she'll tell you, you know, pillar to post. But he tried to attack Konsuke after the match, but he got his ass kicked for that.
So I didn't even know that was a match. I saw like a screenshot of it in the AEW social. They didn't even announce that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was maybe added late just as sort of like a build up to tonight's show. Very fast. It was very, very fast. So, I mean, it really wasn't anything. And I mean, if you know about how they kind of did everything between last night and tonight, last night's Rampage was live. And then right afterwards, they taped tonight's Battle of the Belts. Yeah. So he did double duty. He did an early kind of showing and then he did tonight's match. So he did double duty.
Gotcha.
Let's see. We had Best Friends and Orange Cassidy backstage teasing that they were going to enter the Trios tournament. Danhausen showed up to interrupt. Madison Rayne came out to make her AEW debut against Layla Gray, and she wound up defeating her. That's when Jade Cargill entered with her mic in hand, and she asked Madison Rayne to accept the open challenge on next week's Dynamite and get her ass beat. And then Kira Hogan tried to ambush, but Madison was able to hit the Cross Rayne, which I just really hate that name. I don't like Cross Rayne. I get it. It's a crossroads. But...
Well, I get it because that's her name. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's funny.
What's a cross rain?
I know exactly what that move was.
I know what a crossroad is. Like you hit
it's like
a
when the rain
crosses. Yeah, I guess. When it's going sideways and not up and down.
All right.
So yeah, it looks like Madison Rain's already making an impact here. Which is a little punny because she actually showed up on Impact at the same time as she was on AEW TV. Thank you to the power of production.
Ah, got it.
And to be honest, I don't really know if there's anything else to discuss. So
you just want to move on? That's fine.
Am I forgetting something?
You are, but we don't have to get into it. It's fine.
Oh, I see a very small footnote here. That there was an interview between Swerve in Our Glory and Tony Nese and Josh Woods with Mark Sterling ahead of the main event.
Yeah.
And then it was time for the main event, which wound up being a street fight.
Yeah.
So It was Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus Tony Nese and Josh Woods in a street fight. So obviously no rules, anything goes. You have to hit win by pinfall or submission in the ring. But anything goes here. And Mark Sterling was also ringside, got involved a little bit. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, Swerve and Keith Lee wound up winning.
And how did that happen, Anthony?
Tony ate that pin hard.
It's okay. You don't have to look.
So, Mrs. Money, I got to ask you, what did you think of this? From an aspect of like the match, let's say, what did you think of the match? Because there was like one thing that really chapped me a little bit. And I was like, this is a little too much, but
I know what you're going to say.
What am I? Well, tell me your thoughts first and then I'll ask you about them.
It was fine until, the protein made an appearance. And then it just became comical. You know, it just became silly after that. Like it was kind of unnecessary.
That was what I really hated. I was just like,
it made me laugh if that was the point. I don't know if that was the point, but
now listen, I understand throwing something in the other person's eyes. Like that yes. makes sense, right? You blind them, especially Keith Lee, bigger guy.
Yeah.
What I hated was then after the fact, he threw it in his own face and started eating it. He essentially is blinding himself. He's blinding himself. It was in his whole face. Why would you do that?
He put it in his mouth and it just like
moved out. It was awful. That part was bad. That part was bad. And I really felt bad for Keith Lee because at one point they were showing a side profile and I could just see all of that powder in his ear. And that would have been the part that did me. And I was like, I'm done. I'm just gonna lay out for the rest of this one. Yeah. I don't like this. I do not like it. Eric Freed wants to know if you think Tony Nese got screwed.
Yeah, he always does. It makes me mad. I don't like it. It's bullshit. I'm tired of my man losing.
Now,
and let it me just ask... sorry. You can
no, go ahead.
I had something serious to say for real.
Sure.
I feel like this made Josh Woods look weak. And this was like his first big, this was like their first big tag team match. Like, I feel like it was too soon. You know, like it didn't make them look very strong. And especially for somebody who's new, you know, it made him look kind of weak. And I think even though he didn't take the pin, I still think it, you know, it's like he's associated with that. And it just, to me, it just, it's like, what's the point of the tag team if they're just gonna like eat shit all the time, you know what I mean? Like they won a match on Elevation like the night before, but like I don't know, it just
right.
I just thought that was kind of silly. Maybe it was just too soon for them to be, you know, paired like to have such a big match. I just felt like it was kind of silly.
No, I mean I agree with you. I agree with you on well. Let me put it this way: I didn't think that Josh Woods looked weak per se, but I didn't like the fact that this felt like a blow off match when they really didn't do anything yet.
Right.
Like it felt like a blow off of this whole feud. And it probably is not,
right.
But like you've been pursuing Josh Woods for, I guess a while now, and you're finally right. A team and like your first time on television, you know, you lose, you know, again, it's not Josh Woods, but it just sort of doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. That's and, what bothers me.
You know, Josh Woods didn't eat the pin. So I guess technically he doesn't look weak. He's a really good wrestler. And I mean, he did some cool stuff, but you know, he couldn't get Keith Lee German suplexed off those tables without Tony. So, you know, maybe it sort of cheapens him a little bit. I don't know. You know, they have, Keith Lee is sort of made to be this monster who can do all this crazy, you know, athletic stuff for the
right, which
a man
I get,
his size.
And it's
right.
Totally valid. I, you know, I enjoy that tag team pairing very much, but I just, I don't know. it just kind of bothered me. It just felt pointless. I don't know.
It did feel too soon to me. They just jumped him, and now we're having this big sort of blow off match. They should have, I would have liked to see them sort of stretch this out a little bit and then have this blow off.
And let them get some wins on like Dark and Elevation to kind of build up their record a bit and to beef them up a little bit to be like, oh, don't fuck with these guys, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
but I got to see my man's so
in a main event, and in the interview, he had his jacket open, flexing his abs.
It was nice. Like, I have nothing to complain about with that. Okay. I just didn't like the end. That's just or the protein, but that's okay.
Well, this brings us to our midway point of wrestle talk tonight. So, So this is going to be the point where we have to get to our special FMK.
Yeah.
So I'm going to break it down because I think a lot of the people who listen to the Mark Order podcast have heard me mention some names that they know that you're a big fan of. So we know that you're a Tony Nese mark, a huge Tony Nese
fan. I'm a simp.
Oh, okay. It's even worse. I wasn't going to go there, but you're a simp. Okay. It's
even worse.
So you're a Nese simp. And we know, oh my God, I'm blanking on who the other one is. Not from Nese and holy shit.
Wow. One was on TV tonight.
Not that one. Who's the other one?
Daddy.
Oh, that's right. Christian. Sorry. Zaddy Christian. Right. Sorry. I totally lost Christian.
Don't forget about Daddy.
Well, it's hard to, but people know that you're also a simpish to an extent for Christian, mm-hmm. although you're not very much into his heel turtleneck look. But
no, I like his poopy attitude though.
Come okay, on. You like his poopy attitude, and you like the fact that he's like, you know, a gruff older man. So that's fine. Yeah,
I've always been into older men.
Okay,
you know.
And then the one that people maybe don't know about that I really hadn't let the cat out of the bag, maybe to a little extent, people probably connected the dots, but you're a big Claudio simp.
Yeah, I have been for a long time.
Long time.
Before there was Tony. Mm-hmm. Before there was Finn Balor.
Well, we don't. The only reason
We don't talk about Finn because he's from the E. But
right, that's why he's not involved in this scenario.
But I'm saying before there was Claudio. Club.
Sure.
Yeah, I established the Eggplant Club. Come that's on. Right. There was Claudio. He was my first wrestling love.
And your favorite Claudio / Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
So that the people know was tuxedo mm-hmm. you know tuxedo wearing James Bond esque Claudio or Cesaro that he would rip in half and strip down to his tidy whitey undies.
Yeah, it was great. I was looking up footage of that before. It was really nice. I missed that a lot.
Okay.
Nice.
And that is also one complaint you have thus far of Claudio in AEW is the fact that he doesn't wear the shorty shorts. He wears
He has great leg meat, and it's just unfortunate that we don't get to see that delicious leg meat every week. It's just, come on. Okay.
That's fine. So I'm going to pose the question, and we're going to need an answer, and we're going to need a little bit of reasoning here.
Okay.
FMK, Tony Nese, the premier athlete, Tony Nese, Zaddy Christian, and Cesaro. Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio.
Okay. Where should I start? The F, the M, or the K?
It is up to you.
There's been a big buildup for this for months, so I'm sure the people want to know where I stand.
They've been asking. Well,
all right. Well, for all of you who wanted to know, I would fuck Claudio.
Really? Okay.
He's hot. He doesn't seem like a man that stays still. He's like a rolling stone going traveling everywhere. He doesn't seem like the type that you can kind of, marry and, keep down. So she's just gotta bang it out with Claudio. And he'd probably
Okay.
spin you around and stuff. That'd be fun.
Okay.
Right? That just seems like fun. I would marry Tony Nese, obviously, which means I would have to kill Daddy.
Now,
Sorry.
why marry Nice and not do the fucking? And don't tell me the cheap answer is because when you marry somebody, you could fuck them all the time. No.
That's not always the case.
Why marry Nice and not fuck Nice?
Well, I don't know. He's very sweet. Maybe that's what it is.
Really? Because he threw protein powder in somebody's face.
Yeah, but he didn't mean it.
Okay.
Was an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd
So
have to kill Daddy.
you're killing Zaddy.
Yeah, because I like his poopy attitude, but sometimes it's too poopy.
Too poopy.
Yeah, I can't marry somebody like that. And I don't know. He seemed like he'd be crabby in bed.
Okay, well, you can't deny what the heart wants, I guess.
Help it.
All right, so to recap, we're fucking Claudio. We're marrying the premier athlete, Tony Nese. I guess that means free workouts for life.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And we're
450fit.com, everybody.
oh boy. And
Not an ad.
no. And we are killing Zaddy. Well,
Yeah.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Well, you shouldn't be. You know me.
What are you going to do when inevitably in your marriage with Tony Nese, he starts to let himself go
I'd
and the abs go?
still be okay with it. That's the only thing about him I like.
I'm just asking the hard-hitting questions.
I'm just saying that's not the only reason I was like yowza when I first saw him at Rahway stripping down.
Yowza.
Yowza.
You heard it here first.
Yowza. She said yowza.
Yowza.
Yes.
All right. Well, there's our
Yeah.
FMK segment for the night.
It's not shocking. I'm sorry, everybody. I wish it was a little more risque and thrilling. It's not. It's what was expected, I think.
Now, I'm gonna throw something at you here that you haven't been prepared for.
Great. Awesome.
I'm gonna give you an opportunity to rebut.
Okay.
You can, if you'd like to offer me an FMK, and you can think about it. And we can do it after we talk about Battle of the Belts.
AW
Yeah,
only?
let's stick to
Okay.
AEW because that's what we're
I'm
talking.
going to start writing some people down.
Okay, you can start writing people down as long as we can talk about Battle of the Belts that happened tonight.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about that because I'm mad about that whole thing.
Well, then we do have some stuff to talk about.
No, I'm just mad about it just altogether
Well,
on the whole.
here's where I'd like to, yes, Preparation H does feel
Feel
good
good.
on the whole. Maybe we should start there though, because I understand why you're mad at Battle of the Belts, and it makes plenty of sense, and we're going to talk about the winners and the losers, but it just seems like this is a show that they have slated, right? Like it's on their quarterly slate, and it just seems like they never think about it.
No, it's pointless. You guys, I could be in Brooklyn seeing Arthur and Punisher right now. Okay? I wasted an hour of my life on this. So piss, okay?
But you're here now.
I know, but I'm bitter. I feel like if they're gonna do it and they say they're gonna make it special, then make it special. Don't just have these matches for the sake of having them to waste my time on a Saturday night when I could be doing something else. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, to be honest. I don't disagree. I feel like they know that they have to do these shows once a quarter, or they agreed to do these shows
They
once a quarter
agreed
for
to,
Canada.
yeah. That's a better way to
And
put it.
you've
Sorry, I'm
now,
refilling my cup.
you're fine. You've now sort of settled into this concept of Battle of the Belts, right? So
Right.
you know you're doing a show once a quarter where you're going to put up champions' belts against challengers.
Yeah. build something up here. Give me something to work with here.
Now, I don't
just
need
throw something together, like willy-nilly, right. Shitty style.
I don't need them building to these months in advance. But, like, I need something more than a week and something that feels like it's been thought out.
Because it feels special. It doesn't feel special. None of these matches felt special to me. It just kind of felt like, you get to fight for the belt. Come here. Like, it just didn't, there was no real build-up for it.
I don't disagree. I mean, it's just, listen, the you know, TNT Championship felt like it made sense with the path that Jay Lethal was on and stuff like that.
That's the only thing that made sense.
You know, the Women's World Championship to an extent made sense, right? They've been feuding with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker and that whole team. But although
it's just like, do you think Hayter's going to carry the title? Like, she thinks she's ready for that? No, well, of course she's not going to win. Like, come on.
That's the whole problem with the way they've been putting these cards together.
Yeah.
But even so, if you're going to look at the logic of how you're going to put these cards together, like, Toni Storm is the number one contender, right? And I know they're partners.
Yeah.
But
that would be a good, like, you know, like something tense to
right.
do, right?
I would think so. And then the Ring of Honor World Championship, I give them a little leeway with that because, you know, Ring of Honor doesn't have any television, right? So,
right.
You know, you're not really going to have a way to build this. You're sort of just going to maybe throw something together and say, hey, here's a guy who maybe fits in with that brand and he might have a shot at winning this, you know? And I didn't hate that tonight with Konosuke Takeshita. I didn't hate that. And we'll talk about that when we get there, but just overall, you looked at this card and you're like, nothing's changing.
No,
nothing is changing.
And if something does change, I'd be super surprised. And I'd actually be kind of disappointed, to be quite honest with you, to take that off of Wardlow so quickly, you know?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just...
But it doesn't even...
disappointing. But this is even more disappointing.
And I think the reason is, like, yes, okay, I understand. Like, if you take the belt off Wardlow, it would seem disappointing. But then you have to give some sort of match or build to make it seem like credible that, hey, this guy can actually beat Wardlow. Like, there's a chance, you know, where there's a chance that Hayter's going to take this off of Thunder Rosa. And we're probably tipping our hand. And most of the people who saw that or who are listening saw the show. So, you know, it's not a surprise, but let's go through the card.
Okay.
I just wanted to address that up front because I think we're on the same page. Like, I really think they know when these are coming and we'll talk because they have the next one kind of planned out.
In October, the date's already been announced.
Right.
We know it goes on the next day. We know we're not going to do one of these because we're going to be out. So.
Well,
drink
you know,
it
we're
in,
not
man.
Doing it.
No, we're not doing it.
But let's go through the card. And then hopefully for the next one they have, number four, they can start thinking about this a little further in advance.
Get it together. My God.
So the show
was actually all the belts too. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, they have an hour on TV, so it's, you know, it's impossible to do all of the belts. But I mean, it would be nice for them maybe to put up the AEW World Championship at one of these shows, you know, like, but anyway. Let's dig in here. We have the TNT Championship, Wardlow against Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh were ringside. You know, it wound up being a pretty nice match. I mean, there were moments where this was going back and forth. And again, we talked about, you know, Wednesday night, the fact that Jay Lethal and Orange Cassidy maybe was a match we didn't know we wanted. Or needed, and it just went to show you what a good wrestler Jay Lethal is. And this is the same thing, right? Jay Lethal is very serviceable in the ring. A guy like Wardlow is still, you know, on the come up. But I didn't think at one point at all that Jay Lethal was going to win here. And of course, Wardlow retains,
right?
With the powerbomb symphony,
and then
right. And after the match, Dutt and Singh attacked. Singh put his foot on Wardlow's chest. Wardlow is able to muscle up, and Lethal is able to get him with the TNT championship, Bad guys are stomping him out. Wardlow explodes. sets up, he actually sets up Satnam Singh for the power bomb, but then Lethal intervenes and Singh escapes on a back body drop. We close this segment out with Singh slamming Wardlow through a table. Lethal is draped in the TNT belt. He didn't win, but they all stand tall over Wardlow through the table. So this isn't over between these two. That's what this tells me, right? So we're going to continue to build this.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't necessarily have a problem with the match. I thought the match was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I love Jay Lethal. I think he's so much fun to watch. Like, he's always really entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match, but I don't necessarily know where we're going to go from here, right? That's my only problem is, like, it's not over. So what, is he just going to get another shot? Like, I just don't understand where we're going.
Wait, you mean you think Jay Lethal is going to get another shot, or Singh is going to get a shot now?
I don't think Singh is going to get a shot at
He's not ready yet, right?
No, he's barely wrestled. And that's not a shot at him, but it's like...
No, but he doesn't have that experience yet.
Historically, people of Satnam Singh's size in wrestling have almost been like a freak show, like a sideshow. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm still amazed at the size of him. I said it to you on the couch tonight. Jay Lethal raised his arms above his head on the ramp, and his arms raised up above his head were as tall as Satnam Singh. I mean, he's a giant.
He's a big man.
He's still very green too, but generally, I mean, think of Kali. Like, he didn't move well. Singh can move better.
Yeah, he can move better, for sure. I did love Great Khali, though. He was funny.
Of course.
He's so big. I just want to ride his shoulders.
The Punjabi prince. But, you know, it's not going to be Singh. It's not going to be Sanjay Dutt. Jay Lethal just going to get another shot at this? Like, I just don't know where we're going from here. And there are a lot of other people for Wardlow to sort of get involved with. And I would love to see them do this TNT Open challenge again, which is, I think, what really sold this belt when it first came in and when Cody was doing the Open
challenge. I loved that. It was nice to see, you know, like Sonny Kiss get a shot and Warhorse get a shot. Like, that was fun. I liked that stuff. You know, you don't really get that as much anymore. Although, you know, yesterday on Rampage, I feel like that was the Mox match, you know, it was like that Open challenge-y kind of shot, but I enjoy that. They should do that more. I feel like it's nice to put a spotlight on some newer talent and, you know, get some new blood in there instead of like the same five people rotating in and out, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we can't forget too that Scorpio Sky is sidelined right now. So, you know,
oh, is he?
Yeah. He was nursing some injuries.
Is that why they took the belt off him?
I believe so.
I'm still not happy with that.
No, I would have liked him to hold it longer, but listen, it's Wardlow's time, and I can't be mad at that either.
I'm not mad at that. He's great, and he's great on the mic.
But I mean, we'll see where this goes from here. Again, serviceable match, had no shot that Jay Lethal was walking away with this title over Wardlow. So to me, just not really set up properly, not good booking.
Right.
We went into AEW Women's World Championship match. Thunder Rosa against Jamie Hayter. Britt Baker, DMD, and Rebel were ringside. Tony Storm came with Thunder Rosa for some backup. And we did see a few moments where Britt Baker gets involved. There's a distraction. There's a distraction with the Women's World Championship. She has it, and now she's sort of distracting Thunder Rosa with it. And then she starts fighting with Tony Storm. So this whole feud is still well engaged. At the end of the night, though, Hayter gets distracted by some outside action. Thunder Rosa is able to hit a series of roll ups, and then is able to hit the Cazadora pin, and Hayter could not kick out of it. Hayter tried to come down and maybe avoid hitting her head on the canvas. So she came down sideways. Now, I don't know if they planned for her to kick out right after the three count, then that was perfect. I don't know if she was supposed to kick out and she just didn't, and they counted three. I didn't hate this. Listen, it was, this match was sort of what you expect out of Thunder Rosa, right? It was sort of like what we saw Wednesday. It was really hard hitting. Mm-hmm. And again, to the point where during the match tonight, I think I even said to you once or twice, Mrs. Money, was, I think Jamie Hayter's looking for a minute to breathe here, because she sort of shoved Thunder Rosa away after she took a chop to the chest at one point and was like, I need a second.
Need a second.
Listen, I didn't hate this match. Jamie Hayter can wrestle. We know Thunder Rosa can wrestle. You know, this feud is still fully engaged, but again, not a thought in the world ever that Jamie Hayter was walking out with this title tonight.
No, not yet. I mean, I'd like to see her get it in a year or so. Like, I think she needs to, she's also another wrestler. I feel like she eats shit a lot and like loses all the time. And I don't really understand why. Like, she thinks she's really good in the ring and, you know, she's pretty good on the mic and stuff. She has a good look. I mean, I need butt garters now because of this match. Like, I don't understand why she's always losing, you know, and I just don't,
I've got your answer.
Why? Why?
Because she's always tagging with Britt Baker and they can't let Britt eat the pin.
That's true. Okay. You think she's going to break away from that crew then? And
I think
start
at some
to win,
point,
maybe?
I think at some point, you know, we'll see that split
eventually,
happen.
Yeah.
But
she's going to take off and do her thing because I think she's really good. You know, I like her.
I think that what we'll see is hopefully things start to get figured out with now Madison Rain coming in and being a coach with the women and sort of helping them work through some of this. You know, she'll break away and they'll find something to do. They just need to find stories for these women. And we are very open on the Mark Order podcast on Wednesday nights that they need more for these women to do, more maybe than one match a night.
Yeah.
You know, more than one segment a night, all at 9:30. You know, we saw them at 8:30 this week and I thought I fell asleep on the couch. You know, so, I mean, I think we'll start to see more happen in the women's division. I'm hoping.
I hope
so. And I mean, listen, it's one of those things where we've had a few moments on the Mark Order podcast where we're all saying, hey, this is a new dawn for the women's division. Like, things are working in the right direction. And then they do. And then sort of like things start to backslide. So hopefully this is another point where we see things start to pick up a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. And things change, but they don't backslide.
Right.
You know, and like we said Wednesday night, you know, maybe Maria Kanellis can come in and work Ring of Honor. Not as a performer, but just as somebody backstage with them. I mean, if she wants to perform, totally fine. But
yeah,
you know, with Ring of Honor or even somehow with AEW, you know, that would be a bonus too. But, you know, all in all, I mean, the match was pretty good from my standpoint. You know, I didn't have any major problems with it. I mean, I don't know about you.
I didn't have any problems with it, but just thinking as we've been talking, I feel like Battle of the Belts would have been better for like a Jade match. Because, you know, like, that's not coming off her anytime soon, but it's always so fun to see her, like, whoop someone's ass like that. And it's like, you know, but, like, it's still fun. And I think she was at the last one, so that's probably why they didn't do another for her.
Yeah, and I think Thunder Rosa is maybe more of a mainstream name at this point.
Right.
So maybe they just wanted to try to get her on TV in prime time on a Saturday night.
That's fair.
To expose, you know, people to Thunder Rosa. But, you know, the whole Jade thing too is sort of like, all right, what are we doing? Because it looked like it was going to be Athena.
Yeah,
and now it looks like they cooled it off. I don't know why.
Significantly.
But again, that's what happens when you only have one segment on TV. You know, a week for the women.
So this reminds me, I don't know if this is a good time to talk about your FMK. Do you want to talk about it now or at the very end of the show?
Let's get to the end of this show.
Excellent.
So our final match for Battle of the Belts was the Ring of Honor World Championship. We had Claudio Castagnoli against Kanesuke Takeshita. And again, in AEW fashion and sort of keeping things Ring of Honor, they had Bobby Cruz do the introductions. Caprice Coleman joined commentary. William Regal sat in on commentary. And just if I can immediately at this point call out the fact that I always love Caprice on the call. And I love it when they bring him into work with, you know, like Taz and Excalibur. And then William Regal is always just really great on commentary, too. So I really enjoyed the commentary side of this match, and especially the fact that there were a number of times during this match where they were like, you know, it's all about younger talent like Takeshita and stuff like that. Like, this is the type of wrestling you're going to see with Ring of Honor, or that you see in Ring of Honor. Right, so they're already sort of setting it up as a different type of animal than AEW. So I appreciated that through the match. They did enforce the code of honor before the match started.
Classy.
And then we were off to the races. Listen, this was a hard, hard hitting match. You know, I would put this in as a sleeper sort of like candidate for match of the year. I'm not saying that it is the match of the year, but I definitely think this could be involved in the talks for one of the sleeper hits. I mean, I think we've talked about it on Wednesday nights on the Mark Order, but, you know, it just seems like Takeshita sort of has caught fire organically with the crowd.
Yeah, and he's great.
The crowd loves Claudio, but they were equally invested in Takeshita tonight. Mm-hmm. And I truthfully, at certain points of this match, and I mean, I knew what was going to happen. Like, it was spoiled for me, so I knew it was going to happen. But there were certainly points in this match was like, he could have won.
Like, I thought he was going to.
He could have taken it.
I figured because, okay, we had the first two matches and everybody retained. I'm like, someone's got to give something up. Like, they can't just have everybody retain, right? And oops, I was wrong.
I mean, listen, it's... I guess what they're trying to do with Ring of Honor is keep it to people who are in Ring of Honor or have ties to Ring of Honor, right?
And I wasn't sure if he did or not.
He did not, but they did give some good background info on Takeshita tonight, you know, about how, you know, he made his debut at Budokan when he was 16 and, you know, some of the people he wrestled against and who he was trained by. I don't have all the names in front of me, but commentary did a good job of sort of talking him up, but yeah. He honestly doesn't need to be talked up. You just need to see what he can do. I mean, some of the running kicks, the knees, the Tope Kon Hero, you know, was great. His German suplexes look good. I mean, they were hitting each other with everything. And honestly, I really thought that they could have given this to Takeshita at some point. Yeah. But I understand why they didn't, because at this point with no television, you need to have it on somebody like Claudio, who's a higher profile name, who right. more people know. And if you look up Claudio, you see he has a history in Ring of Honor.
ROH, yeah.
So it makes sense.
It does make sense, but it kind of would have been nice to shake it up a little bit.
Well,
in that regard,
this is your F and your FMK.
Yeah, so what?
What did you think of the match?
I thought it was a good match. I was thoroughly entertained, I'll say. It was long, though. It was like 18, 19 minutes long, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they gave it plenty of time. It didn't feel rushed.
Yeah.
So
it was long. Which sometimes it can get a little boring for me if it's that long. Not like I'm looking for like a 2-minute match, but sometimes when it reaches like that, I feel like that sweet spot is like 8-10 minutes for me. My
for you,
span. Sure. When it gets a little bit longer than that, I'm like, Jesus Christ, just wrap it up. You know what I mean? But this didn't feel like that, though. This didn't feel like that at all. It was entertaining for me from start to finish, and it was a good like back and forth between like, oh, is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? And it didn't feel like cheesy in any sort of way. Like it felt like a fight.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason too. Sometimes it matches that go this long on a show don't feel like that long because they go back and forth. I think sometimes the reason you feel that with other matches is sometimes somebody's fighting from underneath the whole time, right?
Right.
Like, you know, somebody's getting their ass handed to them for, you know, 18 minutes. And then the last 2 minutes they fight from underneath to get the win. Like that feels like a long match.
Yeah. I don't like that.
But oh, look at that. Millionaire Aww, Matt checking in. Mrs. Money so looking sweet. Like $1 million.
Thanks. I got this shirt at shopaew.com. That's probably why.
Oh boy. So yeah, I mean, listen, this was a really fun match, and the offense went back and forth throughout the whole thing. So, you know, it didn't feel like it was totally lopsided. And then Takeshita was sort of mounting a comeback to try to win. There was a lot of offense on both sides. You know, it was a nice match to end the night. Claudio retains. They don't have a post match because they were really at the end here.
Yeah,
I would assume if they started with the Code of Honor,
59.
That's right. I would assume if they started with the Code of Honor, they ended with the Code of Honor as well. Claudio is a good guy.
He's a classy guy. I mean, he's only good for an F for me, but like, he's still a very classy guy. I feel like we would shake before be an and M. after as well.
He could be an M.
But there's Tony, and he's my M, so I can't.
Well, but in any other, maybe in a different configuration, he could be your M. In a different
FMK, he could be my M, but right now, Tony's my M. That's it.
All right. That's Battle of the Belts, so you get your chance to hit me with an FMK.
Okay, Mr. Money, here is my FMK for you. Jade Cargill.
Okay.
Thunder Rosa.
Okay.
Willow Nightingale.
Oh, all right. All right. This might be a little shocking.
Okay, that's okay. Shock me.
I'm going to marry Willow.
I figured. I'm not shocked.
I'm going to marry Willow.
I know you are.
This
little money is going to have a new stepmommy very soon.
I mean, how can you not marry Willow?
I would. She'd be my M. I get it.
I am going to, I'm going to F Jade Cargill.
I figured.
Or more realistically, she's going to F me.
She's going to F you, I think.
And I'll let it happen.
Yeah, you just, yeah.
Which means throw you around. It means I have to kill Thunder Rosa.
I had a feeling you would say that. Even though we did meet her, and she was very nice. She was so sweet with our son. You would think that maybe you'd want to M her for that.
No.
You know, see, she's great with kids.
No.
No.
It's simply just because of this configuration that she has to get the kill.
She's got to go. I thought so. I'm not saying this didn't surprise me, but I did want to ask.
Well, there you go. Willow's the M, Jade's the F, or I'm the F in Jade's scenario.
Yeah.
And then I got a K, Thunder Rosa.
There you go. You heard it here first, people.
Well, as we said before, they did announce Battle of the Belt 4, and it is going to be in Washington, D.C. They're going to do Wednesday, October 5th, AEW Dynamite. Then they're going to do Friday, 10-7, a live Rampage, and then they're going to tape Battle of the Belts 4, which means that it will air on the 8th. Of October. Tickets are on sale Friday, August 12th at 10 a.m. Eastern at AEWtix.com or Ticketmaster. There are two event combos available for those of you who are in the DC area or can travel there. And if you haven't been to an AEW show, they're a lot of fun.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
So it might be might be worth trying to do a 2-day combo pack
if you're in the area, I would definitely. Now,
as we said before, we are not going to be here to do a bonus show, and we've got quite some time to figure out who else on the Mark Order side can do a bonus show, but we'll get that figured out. So we say that only because and the reason again that we're sort of bringing up the fact that it's slated for October is that, you know, they know it's coming. There's no excuse to put together some sort of card that will make sense.
Yeah, we got 2 months until the next one. Come on.
I mean, give us some sort of idea, like maybe this person can take a title off somebody.
Yeah.
I don't need 2 months to build to a TV show that's going to be pre-taped and air on a Saturday, but I need more than a week, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I need to be invested a little more.
This was very disappointing for me, and it's just, again, I'm bitter because I could be seeing Author and Punisher right now, but I'm not.
Well, we'll see him again.
I still had fun. It's great to see you and to see everybody in the chat interacting. Thank you for listening to us.
Well, we got a couple things, just a couple little news pieces.
All right, let's hear it.
One was the dumpster match that happened on August 3rd.
That was a fun one.
It was.
Those ass boys. Love them ass boys.
There were some people who assumed that the guns had escaped through some sort of trap door and stuff like that.
I saw their legs.
Okay, so that's the other thing, is some people said, perhaps, you know, we don't know what's in the dumpster, right? Perhaps it was like a dummy or something like that, right? And you just...
Oh, I think so.
Well, it's not true. Brian Alvarez did report that the ass boys were inside that dumpster and somehow were fine afterwards. And Colton Gunn did say, "We're alive and I hate everything." So
I would too.
There is a still out there, or if you go back and watch that dumpster going over, and you slow it down, there is a perfect still of the dumpster flipping and the top opening, and you can see like the legs.
That's what coming I'm out. Saying. That's what I saw.
Right, but there were people saying, "Well, they got out of it before it went over, and then that was like a dummy or something like that." Which like is a
very realistic dummy.
Well, they're in there and they're okay, apparently. And we surmised on Wednesday night's show that that could not have been meant to flip over like that.
No, I don't think so. I just what cracked me up were the two little zip ties they put on there before they dumped it over.
Just a couple zip
ties. Just two little guys.
Oh my God. And then the other thing that came out was, according to Dave Meltzer, he said that CM Punk, quote, was hurting pretty bad, end quote, as of 2 weeks ago. So it does seem doubtful that he'll be ready to return for All Out in Chicago. But listen, you never know. It's wrestling, right? This could be a work.
I have a question. I thought we didn't trust Dave Meltzer.
Well, he was, I think, maybe one of Kate's first boyfriends.
No. Kate. Well, I had no idea. We've all fallen in love with fools before.
They were on a cruise together. It was magical. Yeah. You know, really? they were out at sea. Yeah, on the Jericho cruise.
They met there?
Gee, I mean, not like really boyfriend. You know,
I'm
like
not sure. Maybe they had like a romantic rendezvous. I don't know.
You know, like Tony Nese is your boyfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it. It's not nice.
You get so smitten.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you never know. People report stuff all the time. I haven't seen that come out anywhere else, but it is just worth noting. It's a rumor that's out there that he's still not feeling 100%. So right now it's being said that it's doubtful that he'll be in Chicago for All Out.
And he has a foot issue?
So I believe, and I can't look it up right now, but I believe that it had come out that he had basically like shattered his foot.
How did he do
that? I don't know where it took place. It took place sometime right around when he won that championship and like maybe the next day. Remember he wrestled on the Dynamite like right after he won the championship, and he tried to do the buckshot lariat like once or twice and fucked it up.
Like shit. Yeah. Was that when it happened? I thought it was because when he jumped in with a bunch of people. Like, remember he would do like the crowd, like the stage dive thing. I thought maybe he fucked his foot up like that.
Yeah. Well, either way, that was the rumor, I think, was like he had basically shattered his foot. I don't know. He's in a boot. He's apparently really trying to figure out how to, like, I think one of the quotes he had given at Comic-Con was like, "I'm learning to walk again," which is kind of frightening. Yeah.
It's not good.
So,
but then again, I'm a little dramatic, and when I had my foot stuff, I probably said that a few times. I don't know. I don't know how dramatic CM Punk is.
Yeah. So, but honestly, those are the only two kind of little pieces of news and notes that we had for tonight.
Okay.
You know, this was just intended to really kind of go through stuff from yesterday and tonight and just do a little bit of bonus action. So This wasn't meant to be like a 4-hour epic normally like our Wednesday nights.
And it could be. We could stay on and talk about other things, but I don't know if people would want to hear about that.
Well, I do see Rob Pumphrey said he's going to be in Chicago for All Out and was hoping that he, as in Punk, would be there too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do commentary.
Listen, I mean, he didn't show up at all for Forbidden Door, right? We thought maybe he would just show his face. Yeah. He did not. So I don't know. But you never know, Rob Pumphrey. I mean, it might. This might all be a work, right? This might be bad reporting, or he might just be saying like, yeah, I felt really bad, you know, and it's going to be a work, but who knows? We'll see what happens. But we got those trios titles to look forward to it All Out. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Moxley for All Out, but I'm sure we're going to get there. And I'm sure that they were maybe slow rolling that a little bit, trying to see what was going on with Punk. So, there's a lot that they've got to iron out now from here till the end of the year. And we've got a pretty fun show Wednesday night for, what is it, Quake by the Lake?
Quake by the Lake.
Now, I do know that we had said it Wednesday. There was like a little Easter egg sort of in the background where it was like Hook and Danhausen in a little canoe or something.
A little boat,
on the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the cards now like covered up where that was. So I don't know if that's like still.
There's a screen. I think Hook or Danhausen posted like a screenshot of it.
Right.
If you go on like Twitter or something.
But they now covered it up. All the cards they've been showing recently like don't have that same graphic background. So I don't know what that was, if it was just an Easter egg or if they're sort of planting the seed for something else. Tonight in one of the cards I said to you, and I couldn't get back to look at it because it was pretty much the end of the show, but on one of those cards they put up, there was somebody standing sort of like on a cliff in the background. I thought it was maybe Hook or Danhausen, but either way. Oh. We do know that Quake by the Lake is Wednesday, and we're going to get Jon Moxley defending against Chris Jericho. We'll have Jade Cargill defending against Madison Rayne. Darby Allin versus Brody King in a coffin match. The Lucha Brothers versus Andrade El Idolo and Roosh in a tournament tag team match. And FTR are set to appear. So it should be a really fun show. There will be a Mark Order podcast Wednesday, but I'm not going to be on it. So
that's right. I'll be neither listening.
Am I. I'll be listening, but I won't be on it.
Nope. Where will we be?
We're going to be at, as I like to call it, the Philly Riviera, down in
won't
Wyoming.
Be here. Yeah.
No,
we'll be on vacation.
So, so make sure you tune in Wednesday night at 10:15 here on the Mark Order podcast. Same channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. YouTube's probably the best if you're going to watch along, because that's where most people are chatting along.
That's where I go. So you can talk to me there.
Yeah.
The first hour.
Yeah. So you can chat along in YouTube, and then, you know, you can listen in podcast form later on if you can't watch along. If you don't watch, we definitely we appreciate you for listening in podcast form. If you do, please rate, review, subscribe. All that sort of stuff definitely helps us out in the algorithm. So we appreciate it for all the help you can give us. But if you've never tried to watch us in video form, you certainly should. It's a lot of fun. The captain on episode 69 was creepy, but fun when it started.
He was fun the whole time to me.
Oh boy. You didn't watch the whole 2-hour show then.
Or 3 hours. I watched the first hour. That was enough for me.
Then you missed all the creep.
He was very punny. I liked it.
So definitely check us out on video form. If you never have before, you can find them on YouTube. You know, they live forever there on our YouTube channel. So make sure you go check out the archives. Most importantly, we are on all social platforms at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, etc. But if you go to our social channels, let's say you're just on our Twitter, click the link tree. You can find the links to all of our social channels in case you're too lazy to go look them up. But more importantly, there is a button to click and get your free Mark Order podcast stickers. And if you click that button, and I know you're not going to try to spread misinformation, Mrs. Money, but if you click that button, you give us your name, your full mailing address, and the country you live in, I'm going to send you out some of these Mark Order podcast stickers for free with a nice little thank you letter for your support. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll send it anywhere in the world free of charge. No shipping, no handling.
Just to let you know, right now in the money archives, we have Scooby-Doo stamps and otter stamps. So keep that in mind when making your requests. Maybe you'll get Scoob, maybe you'll get an otter. Who knows?
Right now I have otters, but I know Scooby lives somewhere else in this
house. Scoob lives downstairs. We got Scoobs downstairs.
Well, make sure you get your sticker requests in. And to everybody who has requested stickers, thank you for your support. Yeah. And, you know, there were a couple things on Twitter. I know people have been asking us about t-shirts and stuff. I promise you people, shirts are coming. I have to finish the designs and get them in the right format. It's been very busy. Things are starting to clear up. We're going to have shirts for you to be able to support us. We appreciate that. When we get that all ironed out, we'll make sure you have the links. We'll blast it out on our social. We'll put it in the link tree, all that sort of stuff. We hear what you're asking for. It's coming. So please bear with us. We got real 9-to-5 government jobs that we are also doing that keep us pretty busy. So, but that's going to do it for the money team here on the Mark Order podcast. Mrs. Money, thank you for spending your Saturday night with me here instead of with Author and Punisher in Brooklyn.
You're welcome.
And sparing me from having to go to Brooklyn for like the fourth time in
a month. I know. But, you know, instead you got a bunch of Tony talk.
That's what you've always wanted.
That's better. That's better.
Well, thank you for being here and for doing another bonus show with me. Love you. I'll see you in a minute when we end this.
Love you too.
And for all you people listening and watching out there live, we love you and we appreciate your support. So make sure, again, you tune into the Mark Order podcast every Wednesday night after Dynamite, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, and then shortly after on any podcast platform that you're listening to. So check it out Wednesday night. Enjoy Quake by the Lake. And I personally will see you guys in a couple weeks, but KTG and Ryan Schlong, maybe Millionaire Matt, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of the week.
Good night, everybody.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.